Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, What the Hack, where we share our best parenting tips that'll help your day-to-day life. And Laura shares one big hack that she swears has changed her life. And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 255. Hey there, Laura.
Hey there, Shauna.
So I have some construction going on the other side of the house. I'm in a weird setup today. I hope we can't hear all the construction noises, but just putting it out there just in case.
Nothing is better for a podcast than construction noises.
Drills, hammering, all that jazz.
Enjoy the dulcet tones of a screwdriver.
You picked the quietest tool.
I know. Why did I do that? Look, I'm tired. All right.
That's your disclaimer. All right, friend. How are you? How is everything in your world?
Well, things are definitely better than last week. If you recall, last week we were sick over here. And by we, I mean me and Augie. And I'm happy to report that we're all feeling much better. The antibiotics are working great. And Augie is also like doing so great on his sticker chart to finish his antibiotics.
Yeah. Did he succeed?
Well, he is working very diligently, but he has one more day left. Monday is his last day of taking the antibiotics. So he is very excited to go to Target after school tomorrow.
Aww. Good job, buddy. Yeah.
So I will report back on that. But what I really wanted to talk about in my check-in this week was little Sebastian, my little two-year-old. All right. So we all know, everyone who's had a toddler or lives in this world and has heard about the terrible twos knows that something happens when your kids turn two. They start getting like a lot more aware of the world and aware of their own feelings and emotions and aware of how to use those feelings and emotions to express themselves and to maybe control situations around them. And we are starting to feel that full force over here. It's just like all of a sudden it's become very clear that instead of him sort of having his emotions pass over him quickly, like if he's starting to feel frustrated, he'll get frustrated and then he'll get over it. Things are sticking a little bit more over here. And specifically, anger and frustration are really bubbling to the surface a lot right now, which I think is a pretty universal thing for two-year-olds. You know, we all know about the tantrums that toddlers begin to exhibit and experience.
Yes.
But the reason I wanted to talk about it here is, like, first of all, Augie's two-year-old, you know, outbursts never seem to be quite as strong as Sebastian's are turning out to be. And so I'm feeling a little bit unpracticed in what to do with these.
Okay.
And also a little bit overwhelmed by the intensity of these feelings. And I wanted to talk about it because I know that you have some experience with some deeply feeling children.
I was like, sounds familiar. Okay.
Maybe it's a second kid thing. I don't know.
Ooh,
but he...
maybe.
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, it's hard not to laugh sometimes because, like, he's still little, right? Like, he's a little guy. He's, like, not that tall. He's, like, pretty skinny. So he just still looks like a little baby, but with these big feelings, you know? And so, like, the other day, he was mad because we were in his bedroom for bedtime and he had a bee in his bonnet about wanting to go out and, like, get a specific toy from the playroom, right? And I had to, like, put my foot down and be like, we've delayed bedtime enough. Like, no, we're not going to go downstairs to get your hammer, right? Like, it's just not going to happen.
Hammer. An appropriate bedtime toy.
Yeah, it's always his freaking toy tools. He loves his tools. I think it was because he had seen me hang up a curtain earlier and, like, used a drill. And, like, so he needed his tools. So he goes, my tool. So anyway, but he wanted his hammer. I told him no. And he did this thing, little tiny little blonde baby body, squatted down, balled up his fist, and just went, wah! I mean, primal scream with tears pouring down his cheeks.
Oh, wow.
And I'm just looking at him. I'm like, oh, baby.
Oh, such big feelings.
What are we going to do? And, you know, times like that where it's so over the top, it is sort of, it does give you a perspective because you're just like, oh my gosh, they're not in control, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's also these more nuanced times that sort of come out of nowhere. Like, for instance, when he and Augie are happily playing together, but then there's a toy conflict, you know, like they both want the same toy. The other night at dinner, Corey and I were continuing to eat our dinner after the boys had, like, had their 2 minutes of sitting still time and ran off, right? So in our house now, like, the pattern is that, like, we will all try to sit down to eat together, and then they'll usually last a couple minutes, and then, like, they'll scarf their food down and then want to go play. And we've evolved to the point where, like, we don't force them to sit, but we do say, like, if you're going to play, go play in the playroom. Mommy and Daddy are trying to enjoy our dinner, which is, like, a thing I've sort of, after reading, like, 5 million books about picky eating and, like, following all the Instagram accounts, this is what I've landed on that works best for our family, because, like, forcing Augie to sit at the table is not going to work. So anyway, so this particular night, both of them were done and they ran off to the playroom. Fine. Corey and I are, like, happily enjoying our meal and actually having an adult conversation. And it sounded like they were having a nice time playing in there. And then all of a sudden we hear some, like, whining. It always starts with whining. And my mommy senses, like, bloop, right? Like, the hair on my mommy neck stood up because I was like, oh, like, this is a precursor to conflict. But I was trying to, like, not intervene, right? I was also trying to eat my dinner because I was freaking hungry. So I hear whining from both of them. Sometimes it's hard to know which one's whining when you don't see it coming out of their mouth. They sound the same. And then I hear Sebastian getting frustrated, and I hear Augie laughing, which I'm like, this sounds like someone's gotten a toy taken away from him, and that someone is the little fireball Sebastian.
Uh-huh.
And then the most heart-wrenching wail comes from the playroom, and Augie comes running in sobbing, Sebastian bit me!
Oh no.
And it's just like, okay. Shuffle through my Rolodex of, like, parenting shit, because it's like, I know from the context of the whining and the laughing that Augie took a toy out of Sebastian's hand.
Right.
But I also know it's not okay for Sebastian to bite when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, like, trying to figure out, like, the best order of operations to address these things without making Augie feel shame, but also, like, acknowledging that Sebastian was wronged in the first place. When we, like, ask him where he's hurt and he points to his back and we lift up his shirt and, oh my God, Shauna.
Oh no.
I mean, he didn't take a chunk out, but it's like this giant red welt on his back. Like, he got bit so bad.
Wow, Sebastian really went for it. That just feels like animalistic, like cheetah level. Like, I'm gonna bite whatever I can get my teeth into. Like, usually you bite, like, an arm or a finger or whatever's, like, sticking out, but he was just like, no, right in the back.
Oh yeah, like Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield stuff. Like, it just, like, go for it.
Uh-huh.
Wow. So anyway, I don't have any solutions. I am just kind of in the thick of it right now. And I'm realizing that I need to do, like, some capital P parenting with Sebastian to start talking about his, you know, big feelings and how to deal with them and how to manage them and all that stuff. But I keep forgetting to do parenting.
Yeah. That happens with the second kid, man. I feel like that is just, like, the story of my life right now. It's like, oh yeah, I need to get around to, like, helping the second kid work through shit. Like, oops.
Well, it's just, like, literally the time in the day is not there. Like, I know I need to make the time, but it's just, I do not remember during the calm times to be like, oh, this is a time where I could do the play thing where, you know, little Spider-Man toy bites Marshall from Paw Patrol and they have a little conflict about it, you know, like.
Yes.
I don't remember to do that. I just am like, ah, oh, quiet.
You just want to enjoy it. You don't want to bring it back up again. It's like, what new emotions are they going to spill forth when you discuss this stuff?
Yeah.
That's what I'm always afraid of.
I know. And logically, I know it's a good thing, but, like, emotionally, you're just tired and you just want to, like, enjoy yourself. So anyway, that's where I'm at right now. There's no, like, nice bow to put on top of this. I just wanted to sort of introduce this as a topic because I have a feeling it's going to come back up, Shauna.
I think so. Maybe every day. Every day for the next year, at least.
Oh, man.
Good luck, friend.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, I'm going to be leaning hard on you these days because I know you have a lot of experience with this. But in the meantime, I just want to hear your check-in. Maybe it wasn't dramatic like mine.
Actually, not too much notable has happened this week. But as a result, I've been kind of reflective and thinking about parenting and my kids and stuff. And what has come to mind is the fact that the kids are getting older, obviously. But what really stands out is that Elle is getting to the age where I really started remembering my childhood, right? Like when I think back on my life of like, oh, I had a great childhood, I think of about maybe 6 years old to 18, right? Like to the end of high school. And I've been doing all this work for years and even still with Cece, right? Laying this foundation of, you know, love and kindness and good parenting and all this stuff. And I'm just like, oh my God, they're not even going to remember most of this. Like now is when it's really starting. Like the real memories are forming. Mm-hmm. And I kind of panicked about that. I'm like, oh no, I really need to step it up now. And now is the point where I'm like kind of exhausted from all these years of, you know, especially with the pandemic, of just constant parenting and laying this foundation and trying to be a great parent and do everything right. And now I want to create the memories that will build like the memory of a great childhood. And just this transition of moving into parenting older children as opposed to younger ones is really starting to hit me in a lot of different ways.
Interesting. It's almost like the first, you know, 4 to 5 years are like defensive parenting. Like you're just like problems coming at you and you're just swatting them away as best you can. Like everything. It's like you're in that game, that old arcade game Centipede, and you're just like trying to get all the... like everything shot away from you as quickly as possible. And then when they get older and a little more self-sufficient, it's like, oh, so now I actually have to like come up with things. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually now have to create an interesting road trip for them instead of just like defensively driving through the city, watching out for pedestrians. And another change that's happening as they get older is changes in our routine that I'm like I've held very tightly to my routine for all of these years, especially like nighttime and bedtime, right? But Elle's getting to an age where like after school activities are starting later in the evening. And I'm finding myself being like, excuse me, what? Like softball practice starts at 6 p.m. No, like that's encroaching on bedtime. And, you know, we talk to other parents at these practices and they're like, what time does your kid go to bed? And we're like, oh, you know, around 7:30. And they're like, what? Oh, my God. Our kids go to bed at like 9:30. And I just realize I'm really stuck in this mode of parenting younger children. And coming around to adjusting to this new way of life is kind of hard for me. Like I've gotten used to some of my routines that really work for my family. And, you know, later evenings are tricky for me, but that's when stuff happens for older kids. And so I've got to adjust and get used to that.
I'm still not on board with like a 6 p.m. start time for a practice or something. You know, one thing that Gia recommends in her classes is, you know, we talk about sleep a lot. And I'm referring to Gia Gambaro-Blunt, who has been on our show a couple times, who is like my parenting teacher. But she says that one thing that you can start building in when your kids are younger is like quiet alone time in their bed before lights out, before they go to sleep. And she actually recommends you do this with like toddlers so that it's like built in. Because she says that we don't fall asleep the minute we get into bed, right? We read a book or do a crossword puzzle or look at our phone or something, right? We do something in bed to wind down before we actually turn the lights off and close our eyes. But the one of the things she says about like doing this, if you build this in, is that you can keep the same bedtime. It's just that lights out ends up to being at a different time. I'm just like, yes, because I'm with you. Those evenings are precious.
Yeah, that's I need that time to watch TV. Let's be honest. But
you do. And talk to Steve and just not be a parent for a little bit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those late practices are really tough. This softball season with Cece being on the team and being 4 years old, some of the practices, like we missed a ton of them with Cece. Like Elle would go, But Cece just can't. Like, the end of a long day, she's, it's just prime time for tantrums and melting down, and she's not all there for those evening things. So for four-year-olds, I'm definitely like a hard no. But I'm coming around to being okay with some of that stuff for the older kid.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I'm noticing about kids getting older is that they're aging out of a lot of like the toys that I've been offering them for years and the activities that we've been doing. You know, warm weather's coming up again in spring, and I've been used to setting up like a little water table outside and like, let's, you know, splash in the water. And it's just not interesting to them anymore. Like, I set up this piddly little water table this year and I was like, oh, I think that's better for 2-year-olds, not like 7 and 4-year-olds. So there's just a lot of change and transition going on and stuff that I don't know. I'm not used to as a parent. It's new territory.
Here's a question, though. If you told them, I'm getting rid of the water table, would they lose their minds?
Probably. Yes, probably. Yeah.
No, it's my favorite thing in the whole world. You couldn't possibly get rid of this thing that I haven't touched in 6 months.
Yep. Same with that little ride on roller coaster we have out there.
Boy.
Like, Ella's so big on that thing. You know, her knees like splay out and like hit walls as she goes down. But oh, dare I get rid of it? No. Yeah, parenting changes as your kids age. Imagine that, Laura.
Imagine that. Well, you know what, though? This bodes well for the longevity of our podcast, because it turns out that the stories are not going to end. The challenges are not going to end. They're
true.
Just changing. Yeah.
True.
Okay, so with your new revelation, have you like come up with a plan to make your children's childhood the most magical thing in the whole world ever, and they'll always look back on it with fond memories and nothing sad ever?
Oh boy, that's, wow, that's pressure.
No pressure.
Yeah. Look, the things that I loved about my childhood were like a lot of fun, free playtime, outside time, sports, you know, loving family, you know, just having my parents around and having them involved in my activities and stuff. So I'm going to keep up with like the sports and the, you know, being involved and being the team mom. I'm hoping to take some memorable vacations with them and just, you know, put memories in their head that are fond ones.
I think that's good. I like this idea of like reflecting on what made your childhood happy and like honing in on that, because there's so many things that we could do. Like, it's funny because you mentioned like sports for you was the thing that made your childhood happy. For me, it's the thing that made my childhood miserable. Maybe not miserable, but I kind of hated, like, we did tennis and I'm glad I know how to play tennis, but I hated like being dragged to tennis class all the time, which sounds like such a privileged problem. Poor Laura was being dragged to tennis class. But like, it wasn't my jam, right? And so all it was being forced to go to a hot asphalt court. I don't know if it's asphalt. I don't know what you actually call hard courts, but you go to a hard tennis court in 110 degree weather and be forced to play a game you don't really care about.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun.
So, yeah, like you said, like, I remember a lot of the trips we took, you know, and just the core of that was like being with my family and my brother and all that stuff. Yeah. So,
yeah. Parties, birthday parties, celebrations, you know, our entire childhoods don't stand out in our minds. Right. It's like a general sense of love and support from your family. And then just like these memories here and there of like the really fun, wonderful things. So I'll love them. I'll continue to love them, Laura.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's part of the plan. And then I'll pepper their lives with fun, memorable activities. I think that's the plan. And $40,000 birthday parties, because I'm in LA and that's what you're supposed to do here.
I saw that article. Yeah. No. For people who don't know, the LA Times had some article that was like, or maybe it was the New York Times, but it was about
the New
like,
York Times.
Yeah, it was the New York Times. Of course it was. The New York Times writing about LA always wins. So they were writing about how LA birthday parties are so over the top and how it's totally normal to spend like $15,000 on a like 2-year-old's birthday party. I'm like, it is not. It is not totally normal to do that. Stop it.
Like, it's stop. Not normal. Yeah, no, no, no. I'll stick with our in-budget birthday parties, which are still a blast. And yeah, so that's pretty much my check-in this week. Just a reflective check-in on how parenting is changing as my kids get older.
Okay, so do you think it's time for our special segment?
Oh, I do. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. All right, we are back, and our special segment this week is What the Heck, where Shauna and I share some little tips and tricks that we've learned to help make parenting easier. Shauna, mm-hmm. I think we should get right to it. We have lots of hacks to share, so tell me, what's your first hack?
My first hack is a way of getting my kids to do things without seeming like a nagging mom. This has been a little trick up my sleeve for a long time now. I can't believe I haven't done this before on What the Heck. And it still works. Knock on wood. Is there any wood around? It still works with my kids. So let's say we're hanging out outside. The screen doors are closed. The bugs don't get in the house, etc. One of the kids goes inside to go potty. They inevitably like leave the doors open, right? They don't like
always
shut the screen doors. So instead of saying, "Al, close the screen door," or "Can you close the door, please?" or just some kind of thing that might annoy them, mm-hmm. what I do is I go, "Door alert, door alert." Like I use the phrase alert all the time to kind of just remind their brain, like, oh yeah, that's something I need to do. And it has to be something like they know about, right? That they've done before. Like the door is huge. It's just,
yeah,
they always forget to close the door. Door alert, door alert. And then they're like, oh, and then they turn around and close the door. The reason I think it works is because it's not like a nagging thing like, oh, you forgot the door. It's not any kind of blame. It's not any kind of like, you need to do this immediately. It's just like a little brain reminder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard that like you should just use one word when you're trying to remind your kids to do things, especially younger kids, where it's like shoes, instead of being like, come over here and please put your shoes on. You just say shoes, pants, or whatever, you know, like to remind them so that their brain knows what's next, but you don't like blah, 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 blah for everything, like, because that's all they hear is blah, blah, blah. The Charlie Brown, like, wah, 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 parent thing.
Yes.
But I love adding the alert because it's like, it makes it like a fun game then. It's like, oh no, the spaceship is crashing. Door alert, door alert.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it empowers them to show like, oh, I know that. I know how to do that. And I can do it independently without a parent like instructing me to do it. Another instance that I use it a lot is at the dinner table. We have benches at our table and oh my gosh, they just, you know, they never want to stay seated. They will like to stand up at the bench. There's like a mirror nearby our table and they're looking at themselves in the mirror, blah, blah, blah. And often they fall off and stuff. Like it's dangerous. So instead of like, sit down, stop, you know, blah, 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 I just say bench alert and boom, they sit down. So I don't know. Try it out.
Oh, I'm trying this out. I'm trying this out the minute the kids come home. Trust me.
All right. Well, report back. Let us know how it works.
Okay, I will.
All right, what do you got for us?
Okay, my first hack, I actually sent you a screenshot from one of my Facebook moms groups.
Oh, okay.
Someone posted this, and I was just like, oh, this is so smart for little, little kids, like toddlers. Okay, so I'm sending you a screenshot of just the pictures from this post, and then I'll describe what's going on.
Okay, I see a small child, about 2 years old, with a milk jug, like a gallon milk jug, and a little cup. And he or she is like stirring something in the cup. It's all on a metal surface. I'm not sure what's going on here. So please explain.
And so here's the description.
Okay.
Said, if you haven't seen this toddler hack, it's amazing. Let your littles practice their pouring, mixing, kitchen helper skills on the dishwasher door. It's a self-cleaning surface and a perfect height for them. And I was like, oh, and they're right. Like, so you open the dishwasher door and it's like a perfect little tray. You know, it's like shaped already to be a perfect little tray. Like they said, self-cleaning and just at a great height for them. So I'm going to try this. I haven't tried it yet, but I think it's going to be fun. Also, I should mention, I like totally Googled whether it was safe to like put stuff on the dishwasher door because I was like, is this going to break it? And I don't want to break my brand new dishwasher. But apparently they're designed to like withstand hundreds of pounds because like, I don't
what?
Know.
What?
Well, I think because people will accidentally step on them or kids will jump. They know that kids are going to jump on them. So I don't think like a gallon of milk and a couple little like cups and stuff is going to do anything.
Okay. So you're saying I can use it as a step stool to reach the high cabinets.
I am not saying that, Shauna. Please do not quote me on this one.
Cool. Thank you for the advice.
You did not hear that here first, guys. We're just putting little light things on there. Anyway, because, yeah, Sebastian's always wanting to, like, pour things. Even Augie, still, he's like, he wants to pour his water. He wants to do this and that. And I'm just like, oh, it's going to make such a mess. And usually I just let him make a mess. But this way I can let him make a mess and not have to clean it up. So,
yes, there you go. That is so brilliant. I love it.
Okay, so what is your next hack?
My next hack is for helping little kids blow their nose, which tissues have been an issue in our house for just ever. Like, sometimes they just don't want to blow their nose into a tissue. It's just like they're walking around. They're like straight into the air.
Augie, like, literally cries if I suggest he blow his nose into a tissue. Like, he's like, I don't want to. I'm like, what is wrong? Like, why?
I don't understand. So I had a hack before about, like, they blow into the tissue and you pretend like they're blowing it across the room, right?
Yeah.
So when that's worn out, it's welcome and not working anymore. Here's another idea. And this is actually, my mother-in-law came up with this idea. So this is all to her credit. Tell your kid that it's a special tissue and that when they blow their nose into it, it will meow like a cat or whatever sound, you know, whatever funny little thing. So we tried this with Cece and she blew her nose into the tissue. And when she blew her nose, I'm like, meow. And she cracked up. She was laughing so hard. She, like, kept wanting to use the tissue and blowing her nose. And I'm just like, meow, meow, meow. And, like, it was a big success. We actually got her to use the tissues using this trick.
Genius. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind for me is farts. Like, you blow your
Yes! OMG, that's brilliant.
My boys will do anything to get a fart joke. Sneak a fart joke in, you know?
Have you guys had Alexa do all the farts for you yet?
Oh my God, no. I'm going to save that for when we really need it. What do you do? What do you ask her?
Oh yeah, if you need a little entertainment with your kids, just say, Alexa, fart. And she'll do a fart. And then she'll explain what kind of fart it is. Like, it'll be like, she's like, that was a juicy one. If you would like to hear a dolphin fart, say dolphin fart. Or if you'd like to hear a random one, say random. And you can go on and on. Like, if you say random, she'll give you a dolphin fart. And then you can do, I don't know, high-pitched fart. It goes on and on. She's got quite the farting skills, so.
That's hilarious. And yeah, I'm going to save that for when I really need it. But also, I feel like that might be a Pandora's box.
Yes. We've spent a lot of time listening to Alexa fart. So definitely don't open that box if you're not ready to go there. All right. What's your next hack?
Okay. This hack I talked about a little bit on episode 246 in my check-in. But I wanted to, like, make it a real hack because I didn't really, like, elaborate on it. And that is, instead of buying wrapping paper for birthday gifts and holiday gifts, make your kids decorate their own using, like, a roll of craft paper and markers or whatever other art supplies you have around.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like to do is I just have a big roll of craft paper and it doubles as an activity to keep your kids busy. Mm-hmm. It's adorable because, you know, who doesn't like some kid art, right? Like, it's a personalized wrapping paper and it's cheaper than buying wrapping paper. So I'll just roll out a big length of craft paper, tape it down with some blue tape and let the kids go to town and then use that to wrap any boxes. So yeah, it takes care of two things at once. It gives your kids something to do and it means you don't have to rush out to the store to buy wrapping paper when you forgot it.
I love that idea. Here's how I see it going down in my house. I would set this all up. They would do it for 1 second and then be like, no, I don't want to. And then I need to finish it. And so then I'm left scribbling all over it as if I were the kid decorating it and then wrap with it. I feel like that's how it would go.
Well, here's the thing. You like art, so you would probably love this shit. Right? Like, an opportunity to do some drawing that I just have to do because I'm obligated to make this pretty. So I'm just going to throw that out there. Second of all, just like plain craft paper as a wrapping paper is like actually kind of cute. You throw a little bow on it or something or draw a little bow. And, you know, no one gives a shit about wrapping paper, right? Like, no one's like, wow, I can't wait to save this wrap. Well, okay, there are people who like to save wrapping paper, but no kids.
My mother-in-law.
Yeah, but no kids I've ever met are like, ooh, I'm going to preserve the wrapping on this box. I don't care about the toy inside at all. Okay, you have another one for us?
I love this next one for getting conversation started at the dinner table, but really it could be anywhere where you want to talk with your kids and your family. Obviously, this is going to be for more verbal kids, a little bit older, but it does work with CC too. You play the one truth and one lie game, kind of like we do with mom confessions, right? We come up with one true mom confession, one lie, and whatever. It's like a fun conversation starter, and it's a great way to get a little window into their world because they've got to come up with something true to tell you about their day or whatever. And then it's really funny to see what they come up with as lies. So I did this recently at the dinner table, and Elle loved it. She was so excited to play this game. She wanted to do it a couple times. She wanted everyone around the table to do it. Cece got in on it, and it was a really fun dinner conversation.
That's really funny. I obviously need to wait a couple years for this to really work, especially with Sebastian. I have noticed Augie's really like getting more nuanced with lies. You know, I feel like when they're like 2.5 or 3, they start to like actually lie about things. Like Sebastian right now, he's not even 2.5, but I'll be like, did you have a poo-poo? And he'll look at me and go, no, you know, like, and he knows that's a lie, right? But it's not a very sophisticated one. But Augie's lies are getting real sophisticated, and like, he's starting to really make stuff up. However, he has like the biggest tells. Like, he's so obvious. He does this thing when he lies now where he like gets really high pitched, and then he kind of shrugs his shoulders and puts his arms out, and then, you know, he starts talking kind of gibberish, and he doesn't know, but that's okay. And he always ends with, but that's okay. And I'm like, dude, you are flat out lying.
So obvious, man.
Yeah.
I have an example of one of the truths and lies that Cece did at the table.
Cece? Okay. I want to hear.
Yeah. She got into it too. So here are the two things she told me. Okay. And you guess which one is the truth.
Okay.
Okay. So the first thing she said was, I took a picture of Sasha, which is our dog. The second thing she said was, I saw 10 cats sitting on a wall and they were pooping, and I took a picture of them, and then I colored that picture.
This is tough. Then she like whips out the picture and she's like, see,
printed it by myself and colored it. So, you know, it was hilarious, and just, it was a fun time. So
that does sound fun.
If you've got older kids who like to chit chat, give that one a try. What's your next hack?
Okay, this is a toothbrushing hack. I know that you have historically provided most of these, but I've learned a new one I want to share.
Yes.
This is especially for little kids, but it's actually working with Augie a little bit too, because it's like new and fun, which is 1, 2, 3 away. Mm-hmm. So what you do is you pick a number and you tell them, okay, we're going to do 1, 2, 3 and away. And while you brush, you count. You go 1, 2, 3 away, and you bring the toothbrush away. And obviously, I'm doing this more with my 2-year-old than my 4-year-old, but 4-year-old surprisingly likes it more than you'd think. And then they laugh because it's like flying away, right? And then you're like, okay, do you think we can get to 4 this time? Okay. Uh-huh. 1, 2, 3, 4 away. And it just gives them a break, which is really nice. It gives them predictability, which they know, okay, I just have to get to 4. I just have to get to 3. Or you can even just do 2, right? Like whatever your kid will tolerate. But they know when it's going to fly away. And then they get a fun little game when it flies away. And Sebastian is even doing it himself. He'll like take the toothbrush, put it in his mouth, and like brush for a second and go, away, away.
Oh, cute.
So, yeah, if you're having toothbrushing struggles, I would suggest giving this one a try.
Oh, that's so cute. Does Augie brush his own teeth, or do you brush his teeth?
I still brush his teeth. He can brush his own teeth. He does not want to, right?
Like, okay.
So every once in a while he'll be like, I'll finish it. But he doesn't want to. So the big win so far is like, I'll get him to like feel around with his tongue and tell me where it feels fuzzy still or if there's food. He'd be like, oh, there's some back there. And I'm like, okay, I'll get it. You know, like, does Cece brush her own teeth?
Oh, yeah. I brush it sometimes, but she's just like very much like, I want to do it. I want to do it. And the worry there is like, oh, is she doing it well enough? Like, yeah. I hope she's doing okay. But we keep getting like good marks from the dentist. So that's fine with me.
They're practice teeth anyway.
Exactly.
Okay, what's your next one?
All right, this is a phone number learning hack if you're trying to teach your little one to memorize your phone number. I think I got this from TikTok or from a mom's group. They posted a TikTok. I honestly don't remember where this came from. And I haven't used it because I taught my kids my phone number in a different way by putting it to the Paw Patrol theme song. But I've always thought this is a really great idea, especially for kids who use iPads. Make your phone number the passcode for them to get into the iPad.
Oh, can you make it that long?
I don't know. I guess so.
All right. So are you going to do this?
Well, they already know the phone number. But you know what? We could teach them Steve's number like this.
Oh, there you go.
So yeah, maybe I will give it a whirl. Because they're very motivated to get into those iPads, you know? It will be tricky to learn that number, but they will get it lickety-split. All right, what's your next hack?
Okay, my next hack is something I wish I had known like a million years ago. Did you know you don't have to cook pasta in a giant pot of boiling water?
Maybe? I'm not sure what you're getting at here, but I don't always use giant pots. So, okay
let
tell
me rephrase.
More.
Let me just say this. Did you know that you can cook pasta in a skillet with like an inch of water?
Oh, okay. I have used small pots with small amounts of water, but I don't know that I've ever done it in a skillet.
Okay, so cooking pasta in a skillet is my new, like, fastest, quickest way to get any, like, quick little portions of pasta done. Works really well with spaghetti. You usually have to break it in half. But basically, you just put the pasta in with cold water in a skillet. You don't have to get it boiling first or anything. Cover it with just a little bit of extra water on top, and you can top it off with extra water if needed, right? Like if it starts getting too low or too dry. And then you just bring it up to a boil and cook it until it's done, and you don't have to drain the water. You don't have, like, and it's fine, Shauna. Like you think, oh, it's going to be gummy and that's not going to work. Nope, it works just fine. I've done it with egg noodles. I've done it with bucatini. I've done it with spaghetti. I've done it with penne. And it actually even makes like sauces better. So if you like add sauce to it afterwards to sort of warm it up, because it already has that like starchy pasta water like in it, right? So that, you know how a lot of pasta recipes are like, reserve some pasta water to add back to your sauce. It's like, yeah, that's already built in. So just in case you think, I don't know what I'm talking about, J. Kenji Lopez Alt, who is like this amazing food writer, like he's like written cookbooks, he's super smart, and he does all this like science of cooking stuff. He wrote a piece in Serious Eats about this, basically crediting his wife for teaching him that he didn't have to use that much water to boil pasta, and in all of his tests it was fine. Like it was just fine.
Awesome.
So don't take it from me. Take it from Kenji Lopez Alt.
Well, that's so brilliant because then you don't have to wait for all of that water to boil. Like if you're trying to do something quick, just get it going.
Well, we're all like, you know, especially kids who like noodles and butter, right? They're like, I'm hungry. And you're like, oh, fuck, it's going to take like 15 minutes to get the water up to a boil. Yeah. And then I'm going to have to cook the pasta. And then I'm going to have to eat. No, you don't have to do that. It cuts out like at least half the time.
Nice. I love this. Smart, smart.
Okay, so do you have another hack for us?
I do, but I think we should take a little break and come back with our last couple hacks.
Okay, sounds like a plan.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. out and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, we're back and we have a few more hacks to share with y'all. Shauna, tell us, what is the next life-changing hack you're going to tell us about?
Okay, I don't know how life-changing it is, but, you know, it's a helpful little tidbit. You know how our kids make a lot of art, bring a ton of art home, and there's always that conundrum of, like, what to do with the art? Like, do I display it? How long do I display it? What do I do? Do I save it? And taking a picture of it is obviously a great idea, a way to preserve a nice little piece of art, and then you can toss the art when the kid's not looking. But what I've discovered is that a great way to display that art is to take a picture of it and then send it to your digital picture frame. So their little art pieces cycle through in our picture frame in the living room. It's
so
awesome.
It's so obvious, and yet it never occurred to me till this moment to do that. That is so smart. And I imagine they get super excited to see their art on the digital picture frame, because, like, my kids get so excited to see their own pictures, like their faces on the digital picture frames.
Yeah. And I'm all about displaying their work. You know, before I had kids, I was like, I don't want to clutter up my fridge or whatever with, like, paper and stuff. But I'm like, it's a source of pride to put up their work, you know, whether it's schoolwork or artwork or whatever. And it's just a nice way of doing that and preserving those memories and that work without having to, you know, save every single piece of paper.
Yeah, we currently have a big pile of papers because I don't know what to do with them. We put them up too. It's so cute seeing how proud they are when you put it up on the wall, though. Mm-hmm. Like, And they'll come back to it like days, weeks later and be like, I made that, and like tell you about how what they were doing when they made it. And it's just, it's so cute. Like,
it's so cute.
Our house is just like all kinds of like kid scribbles all over the walls, you know, like we don't have real art. We have, well, it is real art, I should say. We have we have nascent art on the walls.
And to be fair, I have a lot of that stuff still hanging up too. Like, I still have tons of papers, you know, on the fridge, and we put them on the sliding door and everything, because there's something to be said for that too. But then you can take a picture of it and then put it on the digital frame, and I'll live there forever.
Super fun.
All right, what do you got for us?
Okay, mine is a product that I actually mentioned on our Facebook community group, the BFP community group. And like, just to help someone who is like, I don't know what to do. And I mentioned this product and they're like, how come you've never talked about this on the show? And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I should help y'all out with this thing. So the post was about how like her baby monitor and like other electronics in her baby's room put off like such bright LED lights. Like, they all have these little like indicator lights, and you know, like how all kinds of electronics have little like indicator lights, like a router, right? Well, she like have all the indicator lights. And if you're trying to sleep, that stuff really can disturb you. And as you know, I have been a zealot in the past about making sure rooms are pitch black for my kids. And in order to do this, I've discovered that on Amazon, you can buy like a million different brand names of the same thing, which are LED light blocking stickers.
Oh.
So, yeah, you could cut little pieces of electrical tape and just do it like that. But you could also buy a sheet of stickers for like $5 that have like dots of all these different sizes that just nicely go over the light, and they make them in like black and white stickers, so they'll match your electronics, and they just like will block, like they block different levels of light. So some of them will be like full blockage, some of them will be like 30% blockage, and you can layer the like less blockage ones to get the right, like for example, on a monitor for night vision, you need a little light coming out of the monitor. That's why they have those lights, but they don't need to be that bright. So like, we'll put one of the like the light dimming stickers on. So so we got these and they're great and they work really, really well. So definitely recommend, especially for travel. I feel like you could take these for travel because then you could take them off. Like if you're in an Airbnb or something, or at a hotel, I feel like hotels always have this shit, right? Like the TV has like a bright indicator light on the side that you can't do anything about. And so they don't damage the electronics. They're just like a very light sticker. Light blocking stickers.
Cool. I had no idea those existed. So thank you for the tip.
All right. I think we have one more each, right? Do you have one more to share with us?
My last one I learned from a discussion in one of my mom's groups on Facebook, and I haven't used it yet because I haven't had to do eye drops with my kids in a while. The last time Elle had pink eye was a few years ago, and getting eye drops in her eyes was very tricky, right? Like, she was really scared to open her eye and have it go in, and I was like bribing her with M&Ms and all that stuff. So what I learned is that the kids do not have to open their eyes for you to put eye drops in. Yes, that's what all these people in this thread were like, oh yeah, my doctor, my ophthalmologist said it doesn't matter if the eye is open or not. Just have them lie there, close their eye, put the drop kind of in the corner of their inner corner of their eye, and have them blink around, and that's fine. And I was like, why didn't anyone tell me that the second I became a mom?
Yeah, because I haven't had to do that with my kids. There's no way either of them would let me do this easily. So, wow, that's a hot tip.
Like I said, I haven't tried it yet, so I don't know how much easier it will be, but I just imagine it would be, right? Because so much of it is the anticipation of like having to hold their little eye open and they see it coming down, and you just tell them to lie there and relax, and then like, bloop, I think that will be a lot easier. So listeners, try that and let us know if it works well for you.
And make sure you check with your doctor that this is okay, because maybe it's okay for some drops and not others. So like, yes, make sure you check.
Yes, definitely. All right. What's your last one, Laura?
Okay. When I say that this last hack has changed my life, I mean it, Shauna.
Oh.
I mean it. Okay. This is a tip I heard somewhere on TikTok. It's lost to the TikTok algorithm. I couldn't find it again, but I made a mental note of it and I've used it, and it is truly amazing. the tip was, when you are playing with your kids and they're doing imaginative play, which is something that's all Augie wants to do. He's like always in his fantasy worlds and like roping us into his imaginative play, right?
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is repeat what they say back to them.
Mm.
You don't have to come up with storylines. You don't have to respond to what they say. All you have to do is repeat back what they just said.
Okay.
Sounds weird. Works like a fucking charm, Shauna. Like, it's amazing. And to prove it, the other night we were doing bedtime and I decided to record this imaginative play session that Augie had wrote me into. He had just seen the movie Inside Out, so you may hear some references to that. I think I was supposed to be Joy and he was supposed to be Anger.
Okay.
And so I'm sending you a voice memo. So the full recording is about 5 minutes long. I've edited it down for you because no one wants to listen to that. But here's just a little sampling.
Go left.
Go left.
Not right.
Not right.
So go left.
Go left.
Now you're there.
Now
it's
I'm
a
here.
Festival. It's a Halloween festival.
A Halloween festival.
Come back in AOM.
Come back in ARM?
AOM.
AOM.
Okay, it's AOM. That means it's bedtime.
That means it's bedtime. Does that mean it's bedtime?
Not real like bedtime.
Pretend bedtime?
Yes.
Okay, so he's into it. It doesn't break the fantasy world. What's the benefit, like, to the parent of doing this as opposed to offering storylines or trying to engage more deeply?
Pure laziness, Shauna. It was bedtime. It was bedtime and I was tired. And here's the thing. Also, I feel like I've tried the yes and technique with Augie when he's in his fantasy world. You know, he'll be like, Joy, here's your backpack. You need to fill it up. I'll be like, yes. And I need to put all the memories in it. He'll be like, no. That's not what's going on. Like, it pulls him out because whatever I have in my mind is not the very specific thing he has in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it like a conflict. He gets upset and he starts going, no. And he like starts being like a director. I mean, he's obviously a director in this, but he's like, it gets annoying for me and for him. But by just repeating back what he said, sometimes you can phrase it back as a question, right? He'll be like, put it in the backpack. I'll be like, put it in the backpack? It allows him to stay in his world and not get like pulled out by something that I'm doing, quote unquote, wrong.
Right.
And then it also just means I don't have to think of anything to say. Like, I mm-hmm. literally never have to come up with anything to say. He gives it to me. I spit it back at him.
Nice.
It works so. I'm telling you, Sean, it works so well. And it honestly keeps the play going longer. So highly recommend.
Awesome. Yeah, there's just so much, no, you're doing it wrong with CC, mm-hmm. you know, when I try to do stuff. It is exhausting. I remember with Elle, like just, oh my gosh, having to come up with so many Paw Patrol scenarios, like Mayor mm-hmm. Humdinger was this and the stealing the pancakes and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, oh my goodness. I'm not being paid to write these stories, damn it.
Yes, you don't want to be doing any unpaid work.
That's all parenting is, Laura. I don't it's know true. If you've noticed, but yeah, I know what it's you're getting true. At. Well, that's such an awesome hack. I'm definitely going to use that with Cece in particular, and maybe I'll just teach Elle to do that too, because
yeah.
when they play pretend together, my God, all they do is like bicker about what's going on. There's like no yes and. It's all like, no, you're doing this wrong. No, you're doing this wrong. Blah, blah, blah. So maybe she can get on board too.
On that note, though, I think we are done with this segment. We are done with our hacks, and it's time to move on to our BFPs and BFNs.
All right. All right. We end every show with our weekly BFPs or BFNs. Laura, what do you got for us?
I have a BFP.
All right. What is it?
And it's just that right now, Augie is like in such a sweet phase. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's going to stick around, but he is in like a lovey dovey, cuddly, affectionate phase. And I am here for it.
Oh, I love that. Oh, 4-year-old lovey dovey. Oh, it's the best.
It's so cute. So he'll just like be doing whatever, like playing by himself or like puttering around the house, and he'll just stop and go, Mama. And I'll go, yes, honey. He'll go, I love you. Just out of the blue. And I'll be like, oh, honey, I love you so much. And then the other thing he's been wanting to do a lot is just snuggles. He'll be like, Mama, snuggles. And I'll be like, oh, yes. Okay, we definitely need to have a snuggle. And his new thing is he's repeating back what I've told him a bunch of times, which is I've told him, like, oh, I never say no to a snuggle. Like, you can always ask for a snuggle for me. So he'll be like, Mama, snuggle. And I'll be like, okay, yeah, let's have a snuggle. And I was like, you never say no to a snuggle. Even if you're cooking, you stop and you have a snuggle. I'm like, that is right. That is right. I will always stop for a snuggle. And so he just wants to snuggle and he wants to, like, he'll be like, Mama, kiss. He'll, like, give me a kiss. And I'm just like, I love you so much. Be small and cute like this for a while, please.
I know. Oh, I love that. That's so sweet.
It's so sweet. And it really is a nice, like, breath of fresh air after a lot of the big emotions of being three, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like he's kind of settling into four a little bit and a little bit more emotionally regulated. Obviously, we still have our moments, but he's coming out with these, like, super sweet, affectionate things, and I love it.
yeah, soak it up. Get all those snuggles.
Oh, just making me smile thinking about it. All right.
Yeah, me too.
What about you? Do you have a BFP or a BFN?
I have a BFP.
Oh, good.
My BFP is that Nana and Pop-Pop were in town this weekend. So my mom and stepdad, and we just had, like, a really fun weekend. On Friday, the girls were at school and my mom and I went for a hike, and, like, you know, it's been raining. So the hills are just, like, full of, like, flowers and green grass, and it's beautiful. And I took her to play pickleball. We played a little pickleball together, and that was very fun. And on Saturday, my mom and I and the girls went to the beach and had a girls' beach day together, and it was a blast. Just, like, a lot of fun stuff. I love having my mom in town, and it was a great weekend.
That's nice to hear. You guys missed so much with the pandemic, so I'm glad she is able to come out more these days.
I know. Me too. Me too. I love her. Love you, Mom.
It's been too long since I've seen your mom, though. I haven't seen your mom in forever. So next time she's in town, stop being so selfish and share some Nana with us.
Oh, okay. Well, you can come play pickleball with us, Laura. Huh? Huh? Sports? Pickleball? I know you want to.
I would like pickleball. Corey is very reluctant with pickleball. I feel like he is a little salty that they're taking over tennis courts.
Yeah, I get that.
But maybe pickleball is the thing I need, like, because I had such a traumatic tennis experience as a kid. Maybe I just needed it to be smaller.
Yes, and not on a 110 degree day. We'll go on a cool
boy.
Day, okay?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's mine, and I think that's it for our show. But do you have a 5-star review to read?
Yes, we have another wonderful 5-star review. This one is from Week 10V on Apple Podcasts. They say, overdue review, 5 stars. I became pregnant in 2020 and turned to the podcast world for some desperately sought advice, and I am so glad I found Shauna and Laura. I am still listening, and I've learned and laughed a ton. Thank you both for what you do. You sound like two wonderful women, and I appreciate the insight. Well, thank you.
Aw, thank you so much. That's such a sweet review. And listeners, if you haven't had a chance yet to leave us a 5-star review, could you please do us a favor and head on over to Apple Podcasts, leave us those 5 stars, say a few things you love about the show, and we might read it on an upcoming episode. And if you have any parenting hacks you want to share with us, you know we would love to hear them. Laura, where can everyone find us?
We're on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can always throw a voice memo in there. We love those. Send it to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. And finally, if you want to join the coolest group of people on the internet, just search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community. It's a private group, so you have to request to join. Answer those 2 membership questions so we know you're not a robot, and then you'll get sent straight through to all the wonderful, amazing conversations we're having in there. Not just about LED light blocking stickers, but also all kinds of interesting and wonderful topics.
Our show is produced by Laura Burek, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.